Hello and welcome to Rigori. I'm Marco Rinaldi.
And I'm Giancarlo Rinaldi.
I got excited there because we've just finished watching a game where there were lots of goals and Fiorentina actually won very, very easily.
They did. For once. They did. It was a rare beast where they actually turned all their shots and chances into goals for once, which it has been,
although Belotti still couldn't score.
Yeah. Well, he didn't play the whole game. Let's not be too harsh on the guard, though. But yeah, no, I mean, he'd got 20 minutes. I thought that was plenty of time to get a hat trick against this Sassuolo defence. But no, it was helped by Sassuolo being terrible, but it was sort of typical Fiorentina. I think what was good from a Fiorentina standpoint was that they went 2-0 up and then they conceded to go 2-1 with one of only two shots on target. The Sassuolo managed the whole game. And doubts could have crept in, but they scored almost immediately after that. And then I think Mr. Ballardini's sort of reputation as the Salvation Meister is probably gone. There's just too much gone wrong for Sassuolo this season. They look doomed. That was a doomed performance. I mean, that might be even, you know, I don't know if they can find someone to replace Ballardini for the last few games, but he's clearly not had a positive effect. The team looked a shambles. I did say to you before we started, a tough shift for Consigli or Ferrari, whichever name he goes by, to play two positions. Looks almost identical. So
they do,
to have the same man playing centre-back and captain and in goals is difficult, but I feel sorry for Josh Doig. He had a bit of a stinker, really, and you know it's been frying pan to fire because it looks like Verona could well stay up, Sassuolo will go down. It's tough because, I mean, Sassuolo don't have a great, you know, they've been, I think that's over 10 years now they've been in Serie A, and they've always survived quite comfortably, really, but they don't have, you know, they're not a historic Serie A team at all, and I think just when things start to go wrong there. Yeah. You sell a lot of players. Berardi injured. They were even without Lorienti, who's been one of their few bright spots of the season, was sitting in the stand for that one. They look bereft of ideas, really. I mean Torsved battled hard. Pinamonti is Pinamonti, and it's just not good enough to stay afloat. That's the bottom line.
I mean, on that note, I suppose it'll be interesting because surely Berardi is going to leave finally after being linked with many moves away. You can't imagine that he's going to stay in Serie B with them.
No, indeed. I think that, you know, I mean, although he does seem to love the club and he has stayed many times when, you know, I mean, maybe could they sell that project to him, you know, bring us be, you know, like a sort of minor Di Livio when he did it with Fiorentina and helped bring them back up. It's not quite the same scale of disaster for Sassuolo, but, you know, could he be the symbol of the Sassuolo recovery, or is it, you know, is it something more terminal for the club in terms of decline, you know, just as I say, that they've had their golden age and maybe that's it, because they're not, you know, they're not a traditional giant of the Italian game. They could easily disappear. If he does move, I mean, you know, certainly in Florence, we'd gladly have Berardi, you know, because I suspect we might be shifting out a few wingers in the summer. I'm sure he could do a job. I think the days where maybe the biggest team, you know, Juve were always the team that were after him. I think maybe the days of that deal, although, you know, he'd be a good, if you could get him at a cut price, he'd be a good bargain bucket kind of man to have to bolster your squad. I suspect it might be a more mid-table move for him. But yeah, he's too good a player. Assuming he comes back from injury anything like the player he was, then he's too good a player to be playing in Serie B. Not that Serie B, of course, is without its quality players.
And we'll get on to that later.
Yes.
But staying in Serie A, obviously last week we recorded before the victory of Inter over Milan to secure the league, which was inevitable, as we've been saying pretty much all season. The Inter players got pretty emotional afterwards. I think beating Milan to win that, I saw Martinez saying that, you know, he told the team beforehand this would be the, you know, this is a once in a lifetime chance to do something like this. And they did what they had to do. Milan obviously aren't in great form at the moment, which obviously helped them. But, you know, just a word, they are the worthy champions, definitely.
Oh, yeah, we've said that. We've said that all season, I think, you know, and the fact that, I don't know if you watched much of Juventus against Milan, but that, you know, the fact that they were the two most credible contenders this season, you know, for brief spells. Well, Juve for a slightly longer spell, to be honest, but, you know, it spoke volumes of the distance that there was between Inter and everyone else in the league. So it's really up to these teams to come back stronger, because Inter look, you know, they look like they're clearly the best and could stay the best for some time to come. I was going to ask you, Michael, because I heard, so it sounded a bit like sour grapes, but in a way there was a grain of truth in it. I think it was Stefano Pioli said Inter's had the best team in Serie A for the last four seasons and they've only won it twice. You know, is it a fair critique to say that Inter have underachieved a bit in terms of Serie A?
Yeah, I think for the players they've had, for the squad they've had, I think that is true. You know, you only have to look. Last season they lost an incredible amount of games in the league, something like 9 or 10, maybe more than that. But, you know, I think for the squad of players that they've got, then yes, they probably should have won more than they have. But that's not to take away from what they've achieved. And I suppose their next goal is to you know, kick on in the Champions League again.
Yeah, and I think they seem to be planning that way. You know, the way they've moved quickly for players that they want, they are sort of planning ahead, whereas you get the feeling it's going to be a summer, a big transition at their rivals. I mean, the other thing I was going to ask you was, has there ever been a worse title defence than Napoli's one? Not many, you know, as I say, you kind of always think of the most recent things, but I can't think of a team that's finished quite so far down the table, you know, so soon after it. But not that Napoli I would be looking at, it's more at Juventus and Milan really that I'm looking at and saying, you know, there's a rebuild project going on there. There's certainly going to be one new coach there. I think Pioli's a goner, and Allegri must be in question. I know they've said they're happy with him, but surely a club like Juve can't be happy. You know, they certainly need clarity on that to know, you know, because I think there'll be a few players will head away if that is the case.
Yeah,
Sign up to Allegri. So it's really up to the rest of Serie A to get its act in order. And, you know, kind of now that we've got these five teams in the Champions League, there's a bit more revenue coming in. So, you know, they've got to bolster their squads and plan ahead. It just looks Inter look the most organised of all these teams. The others looking a bit of disarray of the traditional giants. I mean, that's not, you know, because I think hats off especially to Bologna and Atalanta once again this season as a sort of the minnows who could, and potentially, you know, both those teams could be in the Champions League, which is absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, and also a word, you know, we mentioned Napoli there. There was quite a good game today between Napoli and Roma, and Roma obviously a tale of two. Halves of the season, I guess, because you know, under Mourinho they were dreadful, and they really have changed under De Rossi. They only got the draw today against Napoli, but again it was a fight back draw. Yes, they were ahead, but then they got a late goal, which could be vital for their Champions League hopes as well.
Absolutely, so. Yeah. No, and I mean, and they got that win amazingly midweek as well,
which spared
8 draws in a weekend record for Serie A, so it was only 7 draws technically that weekend, but they got the goal late on that boosted their chances of getting, you know, they've now got kind of 2 fingers in the Champions League pie, I suppose. You know, they've got their Europa League possibility and that. No, it's been an amazing transformation, and I saw that Evan Ndika back on the pitch as well, which is great to see after, you know, being such a scary kind of interlude for him as well. But it's amazingly refreshing how Roma have been. It's the attitude as much as the results.
Yeah. I mean,
they did have a setback. You know, there was a wee reality check against Bologna. I think, you know, that it's not all going to be hunky dory for De Rossi, but you know, certainly I like the way he talks. I think that, you know, he comes across well in an interview. He gives a bit more than some coaches do, you know, more than the kind of banal platitudes. I mean, I did see him having a bit of a go at the press, because then they'd kind of, as the press will do, taking his words kind of out of context. I think they were saying, you know, was Pioli at the Last Chance Saloon, and you know, he'd said kind of something like, we're all at the Last Chance Saloon, or, you know, yeah. It was certainly interpreted to kind of make it, and he said, well, look, I'm not going to be this open anymore if you're going to take my words and kind of work with them. You'd think he would know what the Italian sports press are like, right enough. But, you know, it's just refreshing, you know. There's a honeymoon period now for him, and, you know, the real work will start again for that club in the summer, because, you know, they would expect to do better than, you know, this season could end up being decent, actually. But, you know, again, for the wage bill that they've got, which I think is, you know, third or fourth in Serie A, you know, they should be hitting bigger and you know, at least kind of sniffing around the title challenge, I think. And that's, you know, that'll be a challenge for him, because, as I say, it's all been sweetness and light pretty much since Mourinho left, but there's no doubt going to be some tough tests to come. But just, I think as well, what was impressive to me about that game was it would have been easy to have your mind on midweek and use that as an excuse, you know, because he did have a bit of a moan about playing that the 20 minutes or whatever of the Udinese game midweek ahead of a big European tie, with some justification, I would say. And it would have been easy, I think, to kind of take a holiday there against Napoli, but they didn't. They showed a good attitude. Now, whether they'll pay a price for that midweek, I don't know. But, you know, it's a good attitude. I think he was a combative player who didn't accept anything less than 100% effort from himself. So it's no surprise, perhaps, that he would be that way with his team. And it's certainly, you know, it's blown great results for them so far.
Yeah, and you mentioned it there. Obviously, there are the European games coming up this week, which are obviously very big for the Serie A as a whole, but the clubs involved in particular. Roma have a very, very difficult task against a team that hasn't lost all season.
That is tough.
Atalanta, obviously, in the other semi, and then Fiorentina as well, of course.
Yeah, I mean, we get bottom billing. I notice on the TNT Sports, there's a sort of ticker that comes across of, you know, we'll be showing you, watch all six semi-finals across, and it's like, if your screen was narrow, Fiorentina, Club Brugge would drop off the end of it. But a trophy is a trophy is a trophy, as Jose Mourinho would know. Yeah, it'll be a tough, obviously be a tall order for Roma to do anything. I still have faith in the Italian coaching school, even these early in his days for De Rossi. You know, I think he'll have be able to set some puzzles, some traps for Leverkusen that they maybe haven't previously encountered. So it'd be interesting, but it will be a tall order. I mean, I think they're far and away the favourites for that competition now. Obviously, you know, Atalanta, having knocked out Liverpool, why should they be afraid of anybody? And they're in brilliant form as well. I mean, even they again could have had an excuse this weekend to kind of take it easy, but that's not the Atalanta way. So they gave Empoli a beating that, you know, could still compromise Empoli's chances of survival. And so many times we've seen in the past, Italian teams, when their, you know, job's done or mine's elsewhere, they don't get results. But they're great. And Fiorentina are all in on the Conference League now, having lost out to Atalanta midweek in a disappointing Coppa game for the Viola. I mean, in some ways it was a bit unfortunate. It was a key moment was Nikola Milenkovic getting sent off in that game. He slid in. If it had been in the penalty area, I think it would have been a penalty and a yellow card, but because it was outside, it was a red card. And although they actually did battle back with 10 men and put themselves into a qualifying position, they ran out of steam in the end. Very, very close offside decision to decide that one. But Atalanta just riding the crest of a wave just now. They are a team that we know under Gasperini they can go on a charge, and so hopefully that continues for them.
And Scamacca has hit form for them at the right time. He seems to be finding his feet again after a long time of not convincing particularly.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I mean, he hit another cracker, a Scamacca cracker, through the week again against Fiorentina, and he actually hit
another one
that was disallowed. Yeah, that was probably even better than the one he scored. So, you know, just he's going through that moment that, you know, strikers love, where it, almost everything he hits ends up in the back of the net. It's just instinctive. It's great. The team's set up nicely around him. And it does, you know, it does raise a wee thought for Luciano Spalletti in the summer, if he could be the man. You know, you always want an informed striker. I think I can safely say that's not Andrea Belotti, so he might want to go and have a closer look at Scamacca, because he leads the line well, and he is a physical presence, you know, which is not something that Italy are particularly blessed with. They tend to have to play, you know, our best players all tend to be lighter weight kind of skills men that are great to watch as well, but you know, he would offer something different, and you just have to hope that his run of form can continue. Because he certainly looks the most in form of the attacking options at the moment.
Definitely. And then, obviously, Salernitana, finally.
Sayonara, Salernitana. I mean, this podcast is well known for its love of Salernitana. So you'll be hoping to
wave. Don't worry, I've got another team that I hate now.
You'll be hoping that you can wave to them on the way by as Venezia getting the up escalator, Salernitana coming down. That's a chronicle of a death foretold, really, Salernitana. Since the summer, almost, I would say that there's troubles with Boulaydia, who was, you know, such an outstanding performer for them last season. This season, they've just never got going. They've chopped and changed. They've tried every coach under the sun, and it hasn't worked out. And I'm afraid, you know, that's the end of the road. The annoying thing, I think, to me is that, you know, they have got great support. There's always a good crowd, a good atmosphere. So, you know, for that, it's a shame for them to go down. But maybe a season to take stock, to rebuild. It just seemed so chaotic this season. And, you know, this kind of policy they've got of signing slightly old.
Yes.
You know, it can work. You know, but the old stars of the world kind of thing, just, I don't know. It probably sells a lot of shirts, but I don't know that it works as a theory for staying afloat in Serie A. So, yeah, their fate was, it looked forlorn for some time, and then a 3-0 defeat by Frosinone tells its own story, really, because Frosinone fighting to survive themselves after, you know, I think the thing with Frosinone is that they do play some nice football. They do have a kind of coherent plan, and I suspect that they will stay up. But when you're losing 3-0, Fiorentina now have managed back-to-back wins against two of the worst, well, the two probably, one already relegated and one most likely relegated. And they looked, it's not like they looked like, you know, I've seen, say, Verona, who I think are a bit unfortunate to be where they are, whereas Salernitana and Sassuolo eminently deserve their league positions on what I've seen of them this season.
And dipping down into Serie B, before we get to Venezia, big weekend for Venezia, but Lecco, likewise with Salernitana, got a scudding off the top of the table off of Parma, but that's them relegated now as well. And again, like Salernitana, in a way, it was a chronicle of a death foretold as well, because of all their troubles of even getting into Serie B at the start of the season.
They were nearly dead before they started, really. You know, all that nonsense that people that have been listening all season will remember, the Club X was, you know, who was this mystery team? Who was it going to be? And they only got in, not even at the 11th hour, beyond the 11th hour. And so they were playing catch-up. And they actually started off okay,
but
they're such a small club, you know, so little resources. To do that for anybody, I think, would have been difficult. For Lecco, it was mission impossible. And so, you know, they're back down. And yes, I mean, Parma's been, you know, not head and shoulders above everyone, but Parma have been a consistently quality side that, you know, Fiorentina crossed paths with them in the Coppa Italia, are very lucky to get through that game, which showed to me that, you know, Parma certainly had all the qualities that, you know, and this squad even would be more competitive than some of the Serie A sides this season, you know, so that was tough. But yeah, Lecco, hopefully for them, they can come back maybe sometime with a full pre-season and kind of without all the shenanigans and not knowing what league you're going to play in, because it's very difficult. That those things, not just Lecco, the Italian sport and justice system moves so slowly, and it leaves teams in these kind of limbos where, you know, they're preparing for a season but they don't know what league they're going to be in, you know, and that's obviously, that makes a difference, because, you know, to prepare for Serie G is one thing, to prepare for Serie B is another, to prepare for Serie A is another. You know, if you don't know, it's very difficult to get the players together and, you know, who's going to sign up to a project that they don't know what the project is. So a big slice of sympathy for them, really, and all that shenanigans in the summer. And hopefully we don't have any repeats this summer and we actually know from now on who's going to be in what division.
And at the other end of the table, it was a big clash between Venezia and Cremonese, third and fourth, respectively, on Friday night. At the Penso, atmosphere incredible, and not something you could have said about the Penso all season, but certainly towards the end of the season, it's been full. And Cremonese took the lead, but Vanoli, to his credit, made some tactical changes, I think, in the second half, and suddenly we were on the front foot, and Gjikir got a lovely ball from Poyampalo, and then Buzio, who, you know, the trouble is, I think, with Buzio and Tesman have been so good that I'm worried whether we get promoted or not that they'll still be there next season. But he was everywhere on the pitch, but he played a lovely ball through to Bjarki Bjarkason, who knocked it past the keeper and then finished it off beautifully. It was a huge win, and you could see how much it meant to everyone when Bjarkason scored. Even Vanoli was running down the pitch and jumping into the players to celebrate.
It looks like Parma have got the job done in terms of promotion, maybe not in terms of winning the league, but, you know, it looks like they've got the job done in terms of taking that one automatic place. But because Como could only manage a draw this weekend with Samp, tough away game, it does leave that second spot wide open. You know, it looks like a straight fight between Venezia and Como. And, you know, I know that you being a sporting chap, Marco, will say, may the best team win. But it does look
Como
like...
Como in their storied history, or rather... Nouveau riche money.
Yep. It's the nobleman. It's the nobleman of Venice against the nouveau riche of Como. That's how we're styling it on the Rigore podcast.
No, it's going to be tight. I mean, I feel like one thing that has impacted us, Venezia, a lot is that we weren't able to buy anyone in January. So it's obvious when we have to make changes that we just don't have a deep squad. So the fact that we are where we are is incredible. And the fact as well that we're now 7 points ahead of Cremonese. And we could, you know, I think if you finish 15 points ahead, then there are no playoffs. But to me, 15 points seems ridiculous.
It is a huge gap.
We could easily finish like 10 or 12 points ahead of fourth place and yet still go into the playoffs and not get promoted, which seems grossly unfair,
it does seem. I mean, and what makes it more mental, as I say, is I was having a look at the league table, say, you know, who's left with something to fight for. The answer is everybody bar Lecco.
That's
the bottom line, is that almost all the way down that table, Como Venezia, that's the kind of mano a mano, a good versus evil battle for the second spot. And really, you're right, whichever one of those ones misses out really should get the third spot, but they won't. And so that means that you drop in with, I think we could see Cremonese, Catanzaro and Palermo will all take a playoff place. But then I was doing a list. Brescia, Sampdoria, Pisa, Cittadella, Modena, Reggiana, Sud Tirol, Cosenza. They could all still make the playoff. I mean, imagine that if like Cosenza or Sud Tirol have a run of results and end up not, you know, Venezia or Como have had a great season and yet they could, you know, and these teams, the last teams I've mentioned could also get relegated.
Yeah,
you know, they're also in the battle to avoid.
Yeah,
to avoid
and
the
so
drop.
I suppose the 15-point gap rule makes the season exciting, I guess, and everything to play for. But yeah, it is frustrating if you're in that position that we are, where, you know, I would say the top three teams without a doubt have been, you know, Cremonese fought well, but they've fallen off a bit towards the end, and I feel now, you know, we're guaranteed at least top four. We've got another really tough game on Wednesday against Catanzaro away. But if we could win that, then, you know, that would put us in a position where it would seem to me to be slightly ridiculous if we don't get promoted.
I would, as I say, I think the league has told its story. I suppose at the same time, it wasn't a secret before
no,
the
no,
league started
that
this is the way, you know, and I guess, you know, if it, you know, the other teams would think it differently. But, you know, it's a difficult juggling act. I mean, in a way, at least Italy has that, whereas you know, other divisions don't have it at all, where a team can be so far ahead, but, you know, they get lumped in the playoffs with somebody that limps in on the last day.
I just
season.
Wanted to quickly mention the games that are remaining. So Como are playing Cittadella at home, Modena away, and Cosenza on the last day of the season at home, and we've got Catanzaro away, which is obviously the tough one. But then we have on paper what are two winnable games, which is Ferrol Pisalo at home, or however you say that team, I'm never sure. And Spezia away. So we've got two away games, but arguably we've got the easier final couple
because
of games.
I think that Ferrol Pisalo, whatever they are, look like relegation material, you know, and look like their fate could pretty soon be sealed. Spezia obviously could be, you know, they're in a bit of a relegation mire themselves, but, you know, their fate might well be. A lot depends on how things pan out over the games ahead, really, because, you know, Serie B, it's much more old school Italian in that style that, you know, teams, once they've achieved their target, don't really try all that hard. So, you know, it could be that you're playing teams, even in a way, in a funny way, Catanzaro, because, you know, they're almost like marooned in that playoff position that, you know, they might be thinking already, you know, with one eye on the playoffs, really, when they play. I don't know, you know, but I don't think so, because I think they are a team that likes to play football, from what I've seen of them. You know, they're an admirable side. They've achieved quite a lot with a kind of swashbuckling approach. So I think that should be an exciting game, where it might not be what you want, Marco. Well, you'd like a game like my Sassuolo game tonight.
That would be lovely, but I mean, yeah, our defence, even against Cremonese, the goal that we gave away was awful. So there is that big question mark at the back, and Catanzaro did impress me when they played at the Penso. So I mean, under no illusion that it'll be a tough game. But I think if we could win that, you know, Como. Tricky three games. I knew they weren't going to win all their games. So, you know, one more slip up, and if we can keep winning, then we can overtake them and really put the pressure on them.
But definitely, definitely.
We will see. We will
money
see.
Can't buy everything. Remember that. You can't buy everything. Buy a lot of things. Probably Buzio and Tessman, I would imagine.
You can
really hate Como after that, when they come shopping in Venice to take away all your star players. But that'll be a Rigori podcast special, I would think.
So we will see. So it's there is the midweek game, so by this time next week it will be much clearer.
The picture will be clearer. I mean, I'd say, you know, you have got that man so good they named him twice, Bjarki. So hopefully he can be your lucky talisman through these last few games. Because Serie B, the regular season comes to an end very soon, a couple of weeks, really, to decide all of this. And it is going to be, it's going to be a Royal Rumble, as I said earlier. You know, there's so many teams with so much to fight for that, you know, every game's going to be a big, big game. Yeah. There's likely to be a few draws, maybe, where, you know, caution wins out or nerves win out. I think sometimes teams, especially down the bottom end of the table, will accept a point that takes them, you know, one step nearer salvation. But yeah, no, there's going to be some humdingers, and we'll be here to follow every step of the way.
We will, we will. So yes, we will. We've gone on slightly longer there, but I think it, justifiably so, with the exciting end to the season.
We're at the business end. We're at the business end of the season. Three teams in Europe, you know, five teams into the Champions League next season. Even Serie A, there's so many teams with stuff to fight for towards the end of this season. You know, I think down to ninth or tenth place could be European places. You know, so there's just so much left to fight for, and even the relegation battle, although Salernitana gone, all those other teams are in a right good battle as well, so it's going to be a thrilling finale, and we'll try and do it justice.
We will, so be sure to tell everyone to tune in and catch up on what's happening, and we will be back next week with the latest update, and hopefully with Venezia in second place in Serie B.
Absolutely, absolutely.